Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Jay Howard is here. Jay's a new friend. He's the founder and the president of JHE Production Group. That's a small business, not unlike yours and mine. He founded it a quarter century or so ago, and he's here to talk to us about what he's learned. Jay Howard, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here, Jay. Congratulations. 25th anniversary, huh?
Just last month, in November, actually. It was 25 years.
Congratulations. Well done. We've got the 25th of my company will be coming up before too long. It'll be next year, I guess. And so we just celebrated the 15th anniversary of my media company and our radio show. And the reason I'm dwelling on that a little bit, Jay, is because every year we celebrate our anniversary, and we do it for because we like to celebrate milestones, but I also like to encourage small business owners to celebrate milestones. What do you think?
I mean, it's every now and then you got to sit back and pat yourself on the back because sustainability in the small business marketplace is probably as difficult now as it's ever been.
That's right.
And anniversaries are ways to go, hey, I made it another year. I mean, be honest with yourself. It's been a big year for anniversaries for us. 25 years in the company. It's been a big numbers year, let me put it that way. My 25th anniversary, wedding anniversary is next month.
Congratulations.
I turned 50 this year as well. So all those numbers sort of, I guess, are divisible.
Your stars are aligning, aren't they?
So, exactly.
So back to patting yourself on the back, though. I don't want to leave the idea of milestones too quickly because, you know, you got to pat your stakeholders on the back too, right? Your employees, let them celebrate these milestones, but also your customers. Talk to us about why it's important to involve those two groups, those two stakeholders, customers and employees, in these celebrations.
Well, there's a fine line as a service-based business to sort of govern how much you brag on yourself. Because at the end of the day, every job you do, you're doing as an extension of that client, and it's not necessarily about you as it is the person you're working with today. Mm-hmm. But we did go sort of out of character this year and try to publicize our 25th anniversary, and we created a logo that said that. We put it on all of our trucks, all of our trailers.
Good idea.
And even had it on our work shirts. And it was a subtle way to say, hey, we've stuck around for a while, and it did create a lot of conversation.
Well, that's a perfect example of what I'm encouraging small business owners to do, and it shows that you made it. It shows critical mass. It shows accomplishment, sustainability, as you said, and as you say, you did it in such a way that the mentioning of it is sustainable beyond just the week that you made the big celebration. So all right. So tell the audience what you guys do.
We're a live event company.
Was that how you started? Is that what you did when you started?
That's it was our core. It still remains.
So when
our
you woke
core.
Up one morning and said, "I want to be a live event planning guy,"
I wish it were that simple. I don't know that any entrepreneur is quite that
smart.
What
were you thinking when you woke up that day?
Well, let me go back to when I was 10 to 12 years old. I lived in a house in Concord, North Carolina, actually in the city. Well, city being a relative term. And every Sunday night, this tractor trailer would pull in and park in this vacant field, maybe 50 feet out my bedroom window.
Mm-hmm.
And I would play during the week, and we would look at this big truck, and that truck was the only rolling asset that was owned by NASCAR at the time, and it was what they called the Big Red Truck, with Winston written all over the side of it. And on the side of that truck was also the schedule of where they were racing. And the reason it parked near my house was the flagman at the time, Chip Warren's mother, lived down the street. So he had made a deal with the guy that owned the the field where Chip could park that truck, and it being more of a regional series at the time, there were a lot of Sunday nights when Chip did make it home.
Right.
And I always knew where NASCAR was because we would look at the sign for 6 days a week. And so I thought everyone knew what NASCAR was and where it was. And
and that there were all these events.
Yeah, and complete irony was that as a freshman in high school, in college, I got a call from Charlotte Motor Speedway through my dad, who knew the folks, to say, hey, do we need a runner next week? And I went down there and was a gopher. And, you know, today they call them interns, but back then we just said
right.
gopher.
Oh,
and,
hey, you.
Hey, exactly. You ran errands. And I did that for all four years in college. And when I went to work, or when my first job out of college was with Charlotte Motor Speedway to run Performance Racing Network and sell rights to right. stations all over the country. And after 3 years there, I left for my own company, made them my first client. And the part of my job I took with me when I left Charlotte Motor Speedway was the live event piece or the pre-race.
So you
show.
Would have almost had to have denied your own early existence to have done something else, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, I'll never forget, I slept through the second interview with what was then First Union as a senior in college, and maybe that was a good thing.
So well, now this is very interesting. You know, and some people are like this. Some people are like you. They've been around it all their lives, and it's just what they've always known, that kind of thing. And, of course, then there are other people who completely start something totally illogical from their upbringing or from their raising. And but it's interesting that you were able to tie that all the way back to when you're 10 years old. You just sort of stayed, it sort of through osmosis, it just creeped into you over the years, didn't it?
Well, NASCAR has been a fabric of this community for a long time.
Long time, you know,
obviously
yeah.
much longer than many other markets
right.
in the country. And
they're now in 28 markets, 36 races, I think, in 28 markets.
Yes, there's 36 points races. There's 38 races or race weekends total.
Right.
Plus the banquet week in Las Vegas that just concluded last
right.
week.
Right.
And a new event now called NASCAR Acceleration, which is a big mm-hmm. autograph kickoff party weekend in January. So
yeah.
technically now there are 12 months.
And,
there's
and
activity my,
and our,
in 12
our,
months.
Our friends at NASCAR will thank us so much for making sure we got that in there. What's your website? Give us your website, Jay.
GOJHE.com.
All right, so check that out, folks. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, I'm gonna ask Jay, what does he do? What does their company do? What does it take to do what he does? And but also, don't forget, I'm gonna ask him that the big question: what was his biggest mistake, and what did he learn from it? 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
The velvet, underground, back to the floor.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.